You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back on Get Up, and there's a man with some green jackets in his closet, Phil Mickelson, on the range at Augusta National. Don't forget ESPN's exclusive coverage of rounds one and two of the Masters Thursday and Friday.
Do I have on Lululemon joggers? Absolutely.
Thank you for dropping the Lululemon. People that know about Lululemon know they only go to a certain size. Therefore, I've never shopped in the Lululemon stores.
Boogie's cranky about the Lululemon thing, and it's affected the entire hour.
If anyone has seen what Lululemons look like and how they fit, I think we are all grateful that Booger McFarland doesn't have any. Well, so that was a Lululemonless Booger recently, but a recent tweet from Booger suggests this has changed. He tweeted, "Little chilly in Tampa, got to try out these Lululemon joggers. I'll report back shortly. Booger, you got the pants. Give us the review."
Well, Greeny, first of all, thanks to the people at Lululemon for sending me some joggers. A little snugger than I'm used to wearing, and my ankles have never gotten more air. They are a little shorter, but overall, Greeny, very breathable, very comfortable, very stretchy, and they allow my ankles to be shown off, which I wasn't ready for.
That's exactly what America wanted to hear today. And with that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up live from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We are brought to you by Chase, and we are jam-packed. Roll the open. Here we go. It's time to get up. We've got ourselves a done deal. Rolling. Darnold. Dealt. Done deal. We'll tell you what it means for both teams and the top of the NFL draft. Plus, on this busy morning, Mike's mock, Tannenbaum makes the picks for every team in round one. You won't believe where he has one quarterback going. That's on the way. And on the day of his TV debut, Aaron Rodgers gives us more reason to believe his future is in jeopardy. All that and more in this hour. Let's get up, starting right now with the game of the night. All the marbles on the line. Gonzaga, Baylor, the national championship game. Gonzaga looking to go wire to wire. Baylor looking for its first ever natty. And the hero from Saturday night, Jalen Suggs of Gonzaga, two quick fouls. He wasn't much of a factor early. Meanwhile, Baylor all over it early. That's Jared Butler from downtown, and they're up 12, and then they're going down low, and now they're up 16. Baylor, midway through the first half, Macy Oteague a three. It's a 19-point lead, the biggest deficit Gonzaga faced all year long. Suggs would come back into the ballgame. Under a minute left in the half. They're down 15. Suggs in the paint. Yes, plus the foul. It was a 10-point game at the half. Would they make the run? That's the question. And the answer was no. All Baylor. Second half, Jared Butler. Yes, he would score 22. The lead is 14. And then it's Mitchell. Inside, Baylor running away and hiding. Suggs and Gonzaga never able to mount a threat. Scott Drew celebrating with Butler, who was named the most outstanding player. Drew's father, Homer, and his brother, Bryce, there to celebrate as well. And the celebration was on back on campus. It's Baylor, the national champs.
We want to be the best guards in the nation, and I think we proved that tonight. We made a statement, and, you know, it's just the best way to do it on, you know, national TV. You know, NCAA tournament championship game, like it's amazing to do it.
You know, they punched us in the mouth right at the get-go, and took a long, long time for us to kind of recover and start playing them even again. And by then, it was too late.
I mean, it's obviously a feeling these guys had never had to address and deal with, but hey, they've just been an amazing, unbelievable group.
Well, they certainly were, and they had an incredible season. But once again, the last team to be unbeaten and national champ is still Indiana in 76. You see, over the last 45 years, four teams making the Final Four unbeaten, and none of them wind up winning the whole thing. And let's bring Sean Farnham in here for his perspective. And you know, Sean, history will say this was an upset, but the eye test certainly didn't look that way. What did you take away from Baylor's convincing win?
Look, Greeny, I could sit there and I could talk about how physical they were from the start, how they got offensive rebounds, and go dive into X's and O's. Let's take a wider perspective to this thing. Had there been a 2020 NCAA tournament, Baylor would have been my favorite to win the national championship. The guards that we saw last night would have been on the floor a year ago. If they were coming into this tournament as the defending national champions and had already won the national championship, the narrative, I think, would have been completely different heading into last night's game. This team had separated itself along with Gonzaga all year long, and their defense and their toughness, that showed out last night. And Mitchell, Teague, and Butler were sensational. They're the best backcourt in college basketball, and last night they dominated on the biggest of stages.
Absolutely. And so how do we put into perspective this Gonzaga team and its season under all of the circumstances to be unbeaten right up to the last game? How do you remember this Gonzaga team going forward?
Look, there's going to be the conversation. Well, if they played in the Big 12 or they played in the Big 10, they probably would have been undefeated. And you're probably right. But they played the schedule they played, and you go back and look at who they beat in the non-conference, who they beat on their path to the national championship game. This team is going to go down in the likeness of the four teams that you just showed in the last 45 years that entered the NCAA tournament undefeated, but then came up short. It's an elite-level team. This shouldn't be diminished by the fact that Baylor dominated them last night from the start of the game all the way through the end. It's incredible talent. We're lucky to see Jalen Suggs in college basketball. He's going to be a top three pick in June's NBA draft. I personally would take him at number one. I think he's going to be an all-star. Corey Kispert's going to be a first-round pick. Drew Timmy, probably a late first-round pick. Incredible talent for Mark Few and an incredible run, especially given the circumstances of being in a global pandemic and finding their way through COVID-19.
Wow. Sean Farnham says, Jalen Suggs over Cade Cunningham. Put that on Twitter fast. Sean, outstanding. What a great season. What a great Final Four. Thank you so much for getting up early with us here and the reporting again. Baylor, the champions of college basketball. On a crazy day to the NFL, we go next. And the big trade of the day is the New York Jets finally do it. They trade Sam Darnold to Carolina. Darnold was the number 3 overall pick in 2018. In return, the Jets get a 6th rounder this year, a 2nd and a 4th next year. And so, Adam Schefter, we have been wondering for quite some time how and when this would go down. Why did it go down as it did yesterday?
Essentially, I think the New York Jets were not going to budge unless they got an offer that they felt was fair. And a few weeks ago, the Carolina Panthers made their first offer on Sam Darnold-Greeny, and it was a 4th-round draft pick. And that was a trade the Jets were not going to make. But the 4th became a 3, and the 3 eventually became a 2 and a 4 and a 6. And once it got to that level, the Jets felt like it was enough for them. Now, the Jets were at number 2 overall. If they had not had that selection, and there was a quarterback like Zach Wilson not in this trip, I don't think they ever would have made this trade. They would have been happy to hold on to Sam Darnold, who they believe has a bright future in the NFL. But they also think Zach Wilson has a very bright future, and they also like the idea of having 3 added picks so they could help build up that offensive line and surround Zach Wilson with more offensive weapons. And rather than wait for the draft, they felt like the time to act was now. From the Carolina standpoint, they felt like they could go get a quarterback, still have the 8th overall pick in this draft while getting a quarterback who was the former number 3 overall pick, who could throw the football downfield more than they have in the past. The Panthers felt like they were upgrading the quarterback position. The Jets get the picks, and there we have the makings of a trade.
All right, so much to dive into. Let me bring the rest of the crew in here on that. And so, Mel, let's put aside what you think anyone should have done. To paraphrase what Shefty just said is the Jets decided Zach Wilson is just too good to have passed up on this opportunity. Candidly, most of America has never seen him play, right, coming out of BYU. Tell us, is he that good? Is Zach Wilson too good to pass up?
Yeah, all the things I've been talking about are more Darnold than knocking Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson is a heck of a prospect. He can spin it like no other. He's a gifted athlete, basketball player in high school, and he had a phenomenal year, granted against cupcakes. That's the issue, was the level of competition there at BYU. They dominated most opponents, and then, of course, the Coastal Carolina game, we saw what happened there. But when you look at Zach, he had that one great year. He had the shoulder surgery after 2019 going into that season. And then, of course, this year it all came together for him. But I think when you look at that, my criticism's more of the knocks on Darnold and him getting a fresh start, really, guys. This is a fresh start for guys going through trials and tribulations. Back in the day when I was coming up in the 80s, That's what you, how you develop the quarterback. They learn from those rough times. And now the Jets put Darnold through a lot of rough times, and now Carolina can benefit from that. The work's been done by the Jets. He saw the ghosts. He had some rough moments, but he had some good moments. Now he gets some players around him. He's down in Charlotte. He's out of the bright light, just like Tannehill's down in Nashville doing well. So I think for Sam Darnold, I'm happy for him. Now, no more excuses. This is his opportunity to show that, hey, you doubters, you detractors, you skeptics, you haters, I'm going to prove you wrong, just like his good friend Josh Allen did this past year.
All right, we'll see if he is able to do that. Let me try and get Tannenbaum back in here if I can. Thank you, because, Mike, if you're the general manager, you've got to walk into the owner, the person that you work for, and you got to say, on one side, I can get three number ones for this pick. We saw it happen. The pick right behind them, San Francisco traded three picks for the number three, three number ones for the number three. On this side, I can get three number ones. But I'm telling you, this young quarterback is too good to pass up even for that. How are you explaining that to the owner?
Zach Wilson has greatness. He elevates the entire program. He did it at BYU, and I agree with Mel. It was obviously a very soft conference. He did actually, in my opinion, play well against Coastal Carolina, but that's a story for another day. But he has greatness, and we have to go beat and compete against Josh Allen. Zach Wilson's ceiling is higher than Sam Darnold. At some point, be it at SC for 2 years or 3 years in the pros, you can be inconsistent. You could be young. But at some point, you have to take the team on your back and show that you are a great player. So Joe Douglas said, you know what? I could have three ones and Sam Darnold. I'm pushing that to the side, and we're moving forward. Zach Wilson, he gives us a chance to win a championship. I think it's the right decision, and I think it illustrates the massive difference between Zach Wilson up here and Sam Darnold in the middle of the pack down here.
Go ahead, Shefty.
That is the issue. It's Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold. And Greeny, Mike, it's not a question of whether they could have traded the second overall pick for three ones. They couldn't do that. They didn't have somebody that was offering three ones the way that the Dolphins got those picks from the 49ers. There was not another team actively engaging them, trying to trade up to two to go draft Zach Wilson or the quarterback that they wanted. Now, eventually, maybe a team would have emerged, but there was no great interest in that number two overall pick. So the choice really was not whether you could move the pick. The choice was whether do you want Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold, or do you want Zach Wilson on his own and the picks we can get from Carolina?
Wait, that doesn't make sense to me.
Adam, here's...
Hold on 1 second. Before San Francisco traded up to number three, it only stands to reason that they might have made that same offer to the Jets. We've heard all this stuff, including Steve Young saying the guy they really liked was Zach Wilson. We don't know the details on that. But I have to believe there was a moment in time, Shefty, when they could have gotten the same haul for the second pick that Miami got for the third. Is that not right?
No, that was not possible, because I think there were some conversations. I know there were some conversations between the two teams. But what the 49ers were offering to go up to number three was not something the Jets were interested in. They wanted more than that, considerably more than that. But the conversations never got far enough along to even think what it would take to get that deal done. Again, the Jets would have wanted too much. The 49ers never made an offer to go up to that spot, and the 49ers settled in at the number three spot, at a spot that they felt was the area that they were comfortable going to in this draft. The Jets never had that offer from the 49ers, and they wouldn't have taken that offer from the 49ers.
Booger, what do you think?
I'll just say this. Based on the fact that we're talking about that Zach Wilson is so much better than Sam Darnold, how do we know that? I've seen Sam Darnold do some of the same and make some of the same acrobatic throws that Zach Wilson can make. If you go back to Zach Wilson at BYU, his offensive line was absolutely outstanding. He was ordering dinner in Subway in the pocket back there. He wasn't under duress. And to Mel's point, where you season and harden a quarterback, where you go through the trials and tribulation, we've seen Sam Darnold do that. When have we seen Zach Wilson do that? So if we're going to sit here and say that automatically Zach Wilson is so much better than Sam Darnold, I would ask anyone that makes that statement, what proof do we have of that other than a judgment? And oftentimes, here's what happens. When we want something new, we come up in our mind ways that it's better than what we have. put in anything you want to, clothes, cars, houses. If we want something new, we're going to create something in our mind that tells us it's better. So already we created this narrative that Zach Wilson is so much better than Sam Darnold, the Adam Gase Sam Darnold. So how do we really know that? I'm saying we don't. I would have still stuck with Sam Darnold. I think from a talent standpoint, they can do very similar things. And on top of that, you have a guy that's gone through the down part of the NFL. He's gone down and he's on his way back up. We haven't seen what Zach Wilson is going to do when he goes down. All we know right now is he can make these outlandish throws. Let's see what he can do under duress in the National Football League, because that'll truly tell us what he can be.
All right, I'm leaving it there for the moment, but much more on this. This hour is just taking off as we continue. Mike's Mock. Tannenbaum makes the picks for every team in round one, and you're going to be very surprised where he has one of the quarterbacks going. Plus, speaking of quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers adding more fuel to the speculation about his future in Green Bay. Plus, a Jeopardy answer that left him speechless. Don't miss it. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and it's Masters Week, and there's a man who just needs a green jacket to fill out having won all four major championships, Rory McIlroy, not having a particularly good year, but hoping to win the Masters this week. Don't forget our exclusive coverage of rounds 1 and 2, Thursday and Friday here on ESPN. Meanwhile, mock alert, mock draft alert, Mike Tannenbaum's mock draft we are debuting today. And again, these are the picks he would make if he were making the decisions, not what he expects to happen. And he, if he were sitting in the Jets' shoes at number 2, would take Zach Wilson, as they are overwhelmingly expected to do that after Trevor Lawrence would go number 1 to Jacksonville. And then if he were making the decision, he would have the Niners grabbing Mac Jones from Alabama, had the spectacular year in every way, winning the national championship. And then if he were in Atlanta, he would take Trey Lance from North Dakota State to become Matt Ryan's heir apparent. That's a bit of a surprise, perhaps. Here's a bigger one. Mike Tannenbaum says that if he were in Carolina right now with the 8th pick, he would still take Justin Fields, despite having traded for Sam Darnold yesterday. Let me show you the rest of Mike T's mock draft top 10. You see a lot of the usual suspects up there, a few names that you might be expecting to be a little bit higher, like Devontae Smith. Again, these are the picks that Mike himself would make, not what he's projecting to have happen. But as I bring the crew in here, I'm sure a lot of people will say to you, Mike Tannenbaum, and I'll tell everybody, you sent us these picks, then the trade happened. We said, okay, we'll give you a mulligan. Go ahead and change what you want to do at number 8. And you said, no, I'm still, if you're doing it, you're still taking Justin Fields. Why, Mike?
Because I'm going to turn a position of weakness into strength. And if I could come out of this as the Carolina Panthers with two good, young, high-character quarterbacks with great ceilings in Sam Darnold and Justin Fields, it's a no-brainer, Greeny. First of all, Sam Darnold's 23. He has 2 years to go at $23.6 million. We don't know what he's going to be. If he plays well, maybe you trade him next year. There's not a lot of quarterbacks in 2022. And with Justin Fields, I like him a lot. If he falls to 8, it's too good of an opportunity for Carolina to pass on him. So why not fortify that position and get two good young players who are 23 or younger? I think it's an unusual opportunity and one that Carolina should take advantage of.
Fair enough. And whether they do or don't, you are projecting, as so many are now, Justin Fields to be the fifth quarterback off the board in this draft. Every year, Mel Kiper, it feels like there's one quarterback that just gets picked apart in every conceivable way. And this year, it is Fields. Once and for all, amidst all of this discussion, what do you think of him and where would you put him in the pecking order of these quarterbacks?
He's been consistently my second highest rated quarterback, Randy. It's a gut feel for quarterbacks. That's what it ultimately gets down to. And for Justin Fields, when he played the way he did against Clemson and Trevor Lawrence through that injury, when all the pressure was on him after the struggles against Indiana and Northwestern, that showed me a lot. You go back to 2019, he was nearly flawless that year. Then the COVID year, obviously, and the interruptions affected everybody. So I look at Justin Fields. If he does fall, who cares? The guy that falls usually does really well at quarterback. So I think for Justin Fields, use it as motivation if you want. I don't even care about that. The quarterback that does fall ultimately, whether it's Justin Herbert, whether it's Josh Allen, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, whoever it may have been, has usually 90% of the time turned out to be much better than a lot of people think.
What do you think, big man?
Yeah, Green, I don't think Justin Fields is going to fall. I think if you look at Justin Fields and Trey Lance, you say, what does Trey Lance do or do better than Justin Fields? I can't think of anything. So I would spin it back toward Mike T and just ask him, this is your mock draft, Mike T. Why would you choose Trey Lance over Justin Fields? Because I think the only thing you could say is upside. And for me, I mean, if you look at checking all the boxes, a guy that's athletic, a guy that can make the throws on a run, he's got the experience, he's played in a ton of big games. So I would just ask you this, Mike T, why Lance over Justin Fields?
Yeah, Booger, that's a great discussion. It's really close. I just think Trey Lance has a little bit more long-term upside. I have him going to Atlanta where he could sit for a year. You know, he had 166 yards rushing in a championship game. He threw one interception in college. It's a rare skill set. I think the way Mel put it before, you know, Mel has more experience than anybody doing this. It's a very unique sort of fact pattern, but I just think over a longer period of time, he's slightly ahead of Justin Fields. I like Justin Fields a lot. The Indiana and Northwestern games, obviously the two games, he didn't play as well, but he only had six interceptions in his career against a rugged Big Ten conference. So it's close, but I just think there's something really special and compelling about Trey Lance. And if we give him time to develop, I really like his ceiling.
Look, we've had people jump on so many different elements of this over the course of time. But Mel, going back to the very beginning of it, I've had people on this show say to trade everything that San Francisco traded to get Mac Jones would be a head scratcher, for lack of a better word. What do you think? This is another mock draft that has him going three overall. I know you see it that way, too. How about Mac Jones going three overall to the 49ers?
Well, I brought up the Tom Brady comparison. I said he's not Tom Brady. He's not going to be the greatest of all time, but he reminded me of Tom Brady when I evaluated Tom coming out of Michigan as a late sixth-round pick. Now you're talking about the third pick overall, so I think some of those similarities resonate. When you see what Tom's done, you see Mac, Alabama, Michigan, pocket guy, smart, competitive, all those things, great accuracy. I think they saw a little bit of Brady there, yeah, which allowed them to say, okay, he's worthy of being the third pick overall.
Super quick, go, Bug.
You know what, Mel? This almost has to feel, you and I were sitting in Nashville when the Daniel Jones pick went in, and we were both just flabbergasted. This almost has that feel again. Everybody is assuming that Mac Jones is going number three. Something tells me that may not be the case. This starts to, it's starting to have that feel again, where all of a sudden there's going to be a quarterback come out of the blue picked at three. I think we all believe that Lawrence and Wilson are going 1-2. Three, I'm just not sure it's going to be Mac Jones based on what Fields has done, his workout, and we're assuming what Kyle Shanahan is going to do with his movement and his offense and things of
that
nature.
I told you already it's going to be Lance at three. Remember where you heard it first. I'll take a quick break. Coming up, can Sam Darnold turn it around in Carolina? That's the question. We'll get the answer from Dan Orlovsky, who joins us live next. Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up, and another reminder, it is Masters Week, and there he is, Phil Mickelson, three-time Masters champion, hoping to get back into the winner's circle, and our first and second round exclusive coverage of the Masters comes your way 3 Eastern, Thursday and Friday here on ESPN. Meanwhile, back to our top story this morning, the big trade of yesterday is the New York Jets trade their quarterback Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers. Darnold was the third overall pick in 2018. In exchange, Carolina sends a sixth rounder this year, along with a 2 and a 4 next year. And many will point to this number. I know I will. When Adam Gase was his coach, Ryan Tannehill's QBR was 41.5 in Miami. That's a little bit lower than Sam Darnold's was with Adam Gase as his coach. Tannehill, once he moved on to Tennessee, has turned himself into an upper echelon NFL quarterback. We will see if Darnold is able to do the same, as we have Mel and Shefty. And Dan Orlovsky joins the conversation. There's no way this could happen that I wasn't going to get Dan Orlovsky's perspective on it. All right, Danny, thanks for getting up here. The floor is yours. Take it away. What do you think?
Yeah, the first thing that hits my mind are the names Ryan Tannehill and Joe Burrow. And Tannehill, Green, like you just referenced, the different player, the different quarterback he became when he got out from underneath Adam Gase and went to a healthy situation, went to a situation that suited his skill set better, was much more supportive when it comes to the people around him. And we've watched Ryan Tannehill become a top 10 quarterback. And then Joe Burrow. It's important to remind everybody that going into that last year at LSU, Joe Burrow was like a fifth, sixth, seventh round fringe draft pick. He gets 1 year with Joe Brady. That becomes an impactful kind of development in his process, and he's the number one pick. Now, Joe Burrow, like, Joe Brady didn't give Joe Burrow something that he did not have already inside of him. He did not just give him that talent. What he did was unlock it. And that's what I expect Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator for the Panthers, to do for Sam Darnold. Realize that look at this talent. And I would argue that Sam Darnold is more talented than Joe Burrow. I've got this player that's got all this talent. It's my job as a coach to unlock it. And one of the things that I think is really important to point out is Carolina has a lot of ex-college, at least recent college coaches on their staff with Matt Rhule and, again, Joe Brady. That's important because college coaches, and I've had the difference between NFL and college guys focus a lot on development, a lot on teaching, a lot on like the groundwork and building up. I would argue Sam Darnold has never had that. He has never had that groundwork, foundational teaching that is based upon development. This will be the first time Sam Darnold has really good coaching based on development with a supporting cast of talent, and I expect that to allow him to take off.
All right, and so that seems to be a popular perspective here this morning. Shefty, what is your sense?
Listen, they're going to give Sam Darnold the opportunity to be the quarterback there. And they identified him now 3.5 weeks out of the draft and decided to move on him rather than wait for the draft to see if and which quarterback would fall to the Panthers' slot at number 8. And as we mentioned to you before, Greeny, the Jets really like Sam Darnold. I know that sounds a little odd to hear today, the morning after they traded him. But if they didn't have the second overall pick, and I said it before and I'll say it again, they wouldn't have traded Sam Darnold because they liked him enough. They just happened to really like Zach Wilson an awful lot, too. And that enabled them to move on from Sam Darnold for the 3 picks. We'll find out whether it was the right or wrong decision. But they were able to get back a rather significant return for Sam Darnold. They'll go with Zach Wilson. The Panthers go with Sam Darnold. And let's see how it all shakes out with the Jets playing at Carolina this upcoming season.
So that should be an interesting game. So Mel, again, not that a player's evaluation coming out of college is necessarily determinant of his ultimate success in the NFL. We all understand how many other factors go into that. But just in that vacuum, Sam Darnold as a prospect when he was coming out of college versus Zach Wilson, who's coming out this year, and some of the other players, how did you have them graded?
Higher grade to Sam Darnold. And I like Josh Allen better. And I got into arguments with everybody on this. And I was kind of knocking Sam because I was defending Josh. And that's what we're kind of doing with Zach Wilson when we talk about Justin Fields. You can like him, but you like somebody a little better. I like Josh a little better than Sam. Sam had the turnover issues. And that's something he's got to fix. It's like we talked about Daniel Jones and the booger. I wasn't flabbergasted when Daniel Jones went book. Lewis was. You were. I like Daniel Jones coming out. And I think he's going to be really good with the Giants. But I think to Sam Darnold, they've done the work, the Jets develop him, and now the Carolina Panthers can benefit from that development that they've done down there. And in that division, I think it's perfect because you get the young quarterback when you have Tampa Bay with Brady, you got New Orleans figuring it out now, and Atlanta with Matt Ryan, age 36. So for them, they're ahead of the game. Sam Darnold, to me, guys, and I people used to laugh. I'd bring up Josh Allen and say, oh, Sam's up here, Josh is down here. Now we kind of flip the script that Josh is up here and Sam's, what did Sam do to be in the basement when he was up in the stratosphere, and when he came out, even after he played in the league, except get beat up because he didn't have personnel around him. And I'm not into this. I didn't draft them. I got to have my guy. Why? Why? I mean, you didn't watch Sam Darnold at USC. Yeah. You didn't evaluate him then. You got to have your guy. Fine, I like Zach Wilson, but the A-plus here, the home run, the grand slam is the Carolina Panthers getting Sam Darnold. No
so
doubt.
So go ahead, Dan, as we take it all the way back, Shefty has told us multiple times this morning, and he's obviously 100% right, as he always is, that the Jets viewed Zach Wilson as an opportunity, for lack of a better way to put it, that they couldn't pass up in this circumstance. In your evaluation, Dan, do you see it that way?
Well, because of the financial restriction that Sam Darnold's contract presents, yes, I get that. I have been adamant. If I was the New York Jets, I would have kept Sam Darnold and traded the second pick. Now, the Jets realized, or they believed, that Zach Wilson, with that financial freedom for at least the next 4 years in the rookie contract, was more beneficial to them than what Sam Darnold is or what he could potentially be. But let me say this. It's very difficult to get the combination of talent and character and work ethic and intangibles and leadership. Sam Darnold was thrown to the wolves in New York, and he never once batted an eye, and he never once turned his back on anybody, and never once threw anybody under the bus. He stood up there like the CEO of a billion-dollar company, like the leader that you want in your organization, and wore it every single time. And I think that is going to be a huge benefit for Sam in this process. He's hardened. He's been toughened, right? He did not forget or lose his talent on how to play football. I'm with Mel. I think this is an absolute home run for the Carolina Panthers. They are getting a kid that is immensely talented, and he is ready for the challenge of what's kind of in front of him when it comes to go and become an NFL star at the position. I think Sam Darnold in Carolina can become a star at the position.
Well, wouldn't that just be great to watch? All right, we'll leave that here for just a quick moment. Much more football as we go today. And then a reminder that we got basketball coming your way tomorrow night. A doubleheader on ESPN. Kyrie and the Nets host the Pelicans. That's at 7:30 Eastern. And that's followed by the top teams in the West squaring off. The Jazz taking on the Suns. Our coverage starts with Stephen A's pregame Sports Center at 7. And don't forget, all of it is available, as always, on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, coming up on the day of his TV debut, Aaron Rodgers gives us more reason to believe his future is in jeopardy. Don't miss it next. Get up on ESPN. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Back on Get Up and out on the range earlier this morning at Augusta National. That's Justin Thomas, who's having a great year and is certainly among the favorites to win the Masters this year. Don't forget our exclusive coverage of rounds 1 and 2 come your way Thursday and Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern time. And we're certainly looking forward to that on ESPN and the ESPN app. And again, ESPN Plus will also have featured hole and featured group coverage all 4 rounds. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. In other news, Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers had his debut as interim host of Jeopardy air last night, and by all accounts, he was absolutely terrific. But here was the best moment, and it had very little to do with him. Final Jeopardy, one of the contestants took the opportunity to have a little fun. Watch this.
Over to our two-day champion on the end. Scott, did you come up with the correct response? Who wanted to kick that field goal? That is a great question. Should be correct, but unfortunately for this game today, that's incorrect, and you're going to lose 0. Thank you for that.
Well, that guy lost nothing from it. Aaron Rodgers, you could argue, lost a chance to play in the Super Bowl. But that wasn't the really interesting thing involving Aaron yesterday. He did his regular appearance on the Pat McAfee radio show, and there he said this.
You know, I think that we're exactly where we were last year when I made comments after the draft and throughout the season. You know, I don't feel like any of that's changed. All I can do is play my best, and I feel like last year I did do that and may have thrown a wrench into some timelines that may have been thought about or desired. But ultimately, you know, things haven't really changed on that front. My future is really, a lot of it's out of my control. You know, that's why I mentioned, you know, using words like phrase like beautiful mystery, like, because it is quite uncertain which directions that things are going to go.
I'm so fascinated by this. And Adam Schefter, I'll come to you with this question. He says my future is out of my control. That's not totally true, right? He's put himself in a position. All NFL stars, I guess, in this day and age are in a position where they have some degree of control. So who is controlling the situation in Green Bay right now?
Well, again, Aaron Rodgers doesn't think he is. I would argue just the opposite. I would argue that he has all the control he wants. And it's just a question of whether he wants to exercise that. And to date, he has been unwilling to do that. He's gone along with the organization, which not only drafted a quarterback in the first round last year, but traded up to draft a quarterback in the first round last year. Clearly, there is strain in the relationship to the point where Packers management's been talking to him this offseason, where Packers management has gone to him in recent weeks to talk to him about the direction of the organization. And you heard himself say it right there. Nothing has changed. So it hasn't improved, and clearly it was an issue when the season ended when he brought it up, and it was an issue yesterday with Pat McAfee when he brought it up, and to use Aaron Rodgers' words, nothing has changed. But if he wants it to change, he's the one, in my mind, that has the ability to go make a change. All he has to do is go exercise his freedom and tell Green Bay, I appreciate everything that you've done for me. You made your move in the draft last year. I'm making my move. I'd like to go on. Now, again, Mark Murphy's made it pretty clear. Doesn't want to do that. But Aaron Rodgers has the power and the ability to change that if that's what he wants to do.
And, you know, Booger, I look at it this way. If you're sitting in his shoes, you're working for an organization that always has one eye in the present and one eye in the future. And look, God bless them. It has worked well for them. They've won a lot of games over the last few years. But then you look down the road, or way down the road, and you see Tom Brady down there in Tampa, where they are literally doing everything to go as all in as possible to try and win in the short window that he has left. And I could picture Aaron Rodgers thinking, well, that's what I want. Booger, what do you think?
Well, I completely agree with you, Greeny. And I think if you're Green Bay, you have to ask yourself this. Are we willing to sacrifice the right now in hopes that our longevity and our long-term success is going to be just that much better or even greater? I would tell them up in Green Bay, hey, it's really simple. I know you don't want Aaron Rodgers. Whatever reason, you want to move on from him. but you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. Get him some weapons around him. Make sure he's comfortable and allow this quarterback to play another 5 or 6 years in Green Bay. Do not run him out of town. It's clear that Green Bay in their mind has made up that they don't want Aaron Rodgers. They just can't get rid of him right now because who in their right mind will get rid of the MVP of the league? So they're trying to buy time and hopefully at some point, I know this sounds crazy, they're hoping he doesn't have an MVP season again. Because if he has another MVP season again, Greeny, we're going to be sitting right back here having this conversation again, and Jordan Love will be a wasted pick. Aaron Rodgers is torn. I don't think he wants to play for the organization, the business side, but he loves living in Green Bay, and he loves his teammates, and he'd go to war with Devontae Adams and Bakhtiari and Jones and those guys. Like, he loves playing there, but it's clear the organization is ready to move on, but he's not.
Well, but guess what? There's the emotional pull. Tom Brady loved playing with Julian Edelman and Matthew Slater and all the players he played with in New England. But the time came eventually where he set it up for himself to leave. And if Aaron Rodgers, that's why I disagree with what Aaron Rodgers is saying. If he wants to leave, he can leave. All he has to do is go in there and say, guys, I don't want to play here anymore. Now, again, he might take a lot of flack for that short term, but guess what? Brett Favre went and played for the Minnesota Vikings, and eventually he's still beloved in Green Bay. And so, again, if that's what Aaron Rodgers wants, he's got the ability to go do that. He does.
And so, Mike Tannenbaum, very quickly, from the person who has sat in the chair where your job is to build teams, the whole idea of having one eye on the present and one eye on the future, you look in Jason Light in Tampa is just going all in on trying to win right now. And in Green Bay, they always have an eye on the future. Which of those do you think is – how do you see those two there and you have the player stuck in the middle?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it bears repeating. Green Bay traded up for Jordan Love. And if I'm Aaron Rodgers, what I'm saying is, hey, message sent, and I'm going to move on at some point. And I think I disagree slightly with that from this standpoint, that I think at some point they're going to have that conversation because the inverse hasn't happened, which is Aaron Rodgers hasn't said, I want to retire a Packer. We haven't heard that. So I think after this year, what Aaron Rodgers is going to do is say, hey, I saw what Tom Brady did. I'm going to go someplace else. And I got to give Jason Light a lot of credit. When your window is open, you got to take advantage of it. And I think Tampa Bay has been aggressive, but not reckless. So I think they can live to fight another day down the road. But you got Tom Brady. Why not try to win another championship this year?
This coming season, Rodgers will play his 16th in Green Bay. That will make him the longest tenured Packer ever. Will it be his last? We'll see. Meanwhile, let's run through bases through some of the good baseball action from last night. It begins in Anaheim with the Astros in town. Oh boy, this was interesting. First, fans threw an inflatable garbage can onto the field. Then it got far more serious than that with a real garbage can as Jose Altuve was batting later in the game. It's all, of course, in response to the sign-stealing scandal of a few seasons ago when the Astros used garbage cans to tip off their hitters. Here's their manager, Dusty Baker.
Many in the stands have never done anything wrong in their life. Or, you know, we paid the price for it. How many people have not cheated, you know, on the test or whatever at some point in time. I mean, it's easy, you know, if you live in glass houses, but I don't think anybody lives in glass houses.
Well, as for the game itself, the Angels scored four times in the bottom of the eighth and held on to win 7-6, so it was Houston's first loss of the season. In other action in New York, Giancarlo Stanton smacking a 471-foot grand slam as the Yankees shut out the Orioles 7-0. It was Stanton's first hit of the season. Aaron Judge also homered in that game for New York. And then in Arlington, Texas, the first full capacity crowd to watch a sporting event since the pandemic hit. A capacity crowd of more than 38,000 people were at Globe Life Stadium last night as the Rangers lost their home opener to Toronto by a score of 6-2. Meanwhile, tonight we have the second game of the three-game series between Francisco Lindor and the Mets and Bryce Harper and the Phillies. It's tonight 7 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, the Darnold deal done. What does it mean for the Jets, and does it put another starting quarterback on the market? We'll answer that question right after this. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Get Up is brought to you by DoorDash. Get more from your neighborhood. And we are looking forward to the Masters this week, and that's a live picture of Jordan Spieth, who is a former Masters champion and just won last week in San Antonio. So his game is in good shape as he tries to win this weekend. Don't forget our exclusive coverage of rounds 1 and 2 Thursday and Friday on ESPN. Meanwhile, coming up here in just a few minutes, it's time for First Take. Fresh off winning the championship last night, Baylor coach Scott Drew will join them live. And who won the Sam Darnold trade? Max and Stephen A. and Molly. We'll debate that and much more. They come your way in about 3.5 minutes here on ESPN. But we'll finish up on this. And so, Adam Schefter, let me ask you this. We have been talking, you and I, since the end of the season about the crazy offseason this would be with the quarterback carousel. And it has been spinning, and there have been a ton of moves. What else do you have your eye on as we sit now 3 weeks and change from the draft?
Look, the Deshaun Watson situation is still out there right now. Houston police are investigating him. NFL is investigating him. I think teams are investigating him. But again, each team is making its quarterback moves. The Russell Wilson trade talk is quieted down. But again, if the Seahawks, I think, could procure a quarterback that they believed in, I think that they'd be open to listening. And then you hear Aaron Rodgers continue to talk. And so you just wonder when and if that's going to come to a head and at what situation that will be. All the quarterbacks in the draft, those particular situations. But right now, we've got Sam Darnold going to Carolina. And I can tell you this, Greeny, this just in within the past half hour or so, breaking news from Carolina. There are no ghosts in Carolina, per sources.
Put that on the bottom line. Adam Schefter reporting. I just saw some video of Darnold. He's like, he's celebrating like he's a kid in a candy store. As well, he should. He gets a fresh chance. Yeah. So for those who are just joining us here, maybe they're tuning in to see First Take. Mel, your thoughts on this. Darnold and what he can become in Carolina.
That's why millions and millions of people, April 29th, 30th, and May 1st, watch the NFL draft, Greeny, is because of the fascinating part of the draft, which is Carolina now at 8. Do they go for a Penei Sewell tackle from Oregon or one of the receivers to help out Sam Darnold, or get Justin Fields, as Mike Tannenbaum suggests, and maybe get that win-win that the Jets didn't want with Darnold and Wilson? So it's going to be really interesting to see how Carolina attacks pick number 8 now that Sam Darnold is in the fold.
You mentioned Mike Tannenbaum's mock draft, which he did for us, and we unveiled it exclusively here this morning. Again, these were the picks that you, Mike, would make, not what you're projecting what should happen or will happen. You're saying what you would make, and you're saying even though they just traded for Darnold, you would take Justin Fields at number 8 if you were Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Mel suggested yesterday, that you could draft Zach Wilson and keep Sam Darnold, move that story forward. Have Sam Darnold, and if someone like Justin Fields with incredible upside falls to you at 8, absolutely take him, Greeny. Turn a weakness to a strength. Hopefully they both play well, and a year from now, who knows where you're going to be sitting. Not a lot of quarterbacks in next year's draft. Both guys are young. To me, it makes a lot of sense. It's a great opportunity if the board falls that way to Carolina.
And finally, Booger McFarland, as you prepare, as I do, to hibernate for 4 days and watch the Masters at the end of this week, what is your overarching reaction to this huge trade yesterday?
Well, I'm just so happy for Sam Darnold, Greeny. I think Sam is going to be outstanding. We've seen what the offensive coordinator in Carolina, Joe Brady, did with Joe Burrow at LSU. I think he's going to do the same with Sam Darnold. He's got better weapons. He's got a better coach. He's got a better organization. So if you're Sam Darnold and you can get traded up or quote-unquote fired up, I think that's what happened to him. He's got to be ecstatic, and I would be too, Greeny. And by the way, Greeny, I'm going Patrick Reed for my pick for the Masters.
Ooh,
write it down.
Ooh,
book it.
Ooh,
he is a Masters champion, and so is Jordan Spieth, and that's who I'm picking. Again, that's for Thursday. In 60 seconds, I will be yelling and screaming on ESPN Radio Coast to Coast about this Darnold trade while the fun continues here next with First Take.